Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're in Maseches Pesachim Daf Pei Hei, the seventh perek, Ketzad Tzoin. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, it was taught in the Mishnah, Pigol v'nos metamis yadayim. Pigol v'nos are metame the hands that touch them, which Rashi explains is midrabbanan. Rav Huna and Rav Chisa explained the reason for this decree. The one who taught the reason for Pigol said it was mishum chashde kohuna, because of suspect kohanim. Rashi explains that they were suspect of being mefagel the carbon out of enmity for the person bringing it, which would cause him a monetary loss. The Rabban therefore decreed tumah on the hands, him matriach the kohen to immerse him, which would then serve as a deterrent. The one who taught the reason for Noser explained it was mishum atzlei kohuna, because of lazy kohanim. Rashi explains that the decree would spur lazy kohanim to eat the meat who might otherwise have let it become Noser. The question was asked whether the same decree was enacted for people taking the Pesach beyond its boundary, and the Gemara concludes that there was no need. B'nei chabur zrizinhen u'mazir zehiribe. The members of the group that offer the Pesach are zealous and they're careful with the meat not to take it out of its boundary. Point number two, Rabbi Yami said, Hamotzi basur Pesach mechabura chabura eino chayv ad shiyaniach. If one removes meat of the Pesach from the location of one group to that of another group, he's not chayv unless he places it down in the new location. Hotza ksibe kashabbos. The expression of removing is written concerning the meat like it's written concerning Shabbos. So just like Shabbos, one's not chayv until he does an akir v'hanacha, so too here a person is not chayv until he does an akir v'hanacha. Rabbi Amar bar Mamo challenged him from a Mishnah Zvachim regarding carrying the carcasses of the inner chatas offerings on poles beyond the walls of the Azara, where those in front are metame the garments as soon as they emerge from the Azara, even though the offering has not yet come to rest on the ground. So according to Rabbi Ami, they should not be metame their garments until they place it down. Rabbi Amar bar Mamo resolved his own question. B'nigrarin. The Mishnah is dealing with a case where the carcasses are dragging on the ground. Tosu says that it's lav dafka that they were dragging, rather the limbs hang down to within three tefachim of the ground and are deemed resting on the ground based on the principle of lavud. And point number three, the next mission defines the boundary for the prohibition of taking the Pesach outside. Mina agaf lifnim kol lifnim, from the door jamb inward is judged as inside. Mina agaf lechutz kol lechutz, and from the door jamb outward is considered outside. Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav, v'chen lo tefila. The same law applies regarding tefila. Rav disagrees with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who said, "Afil mechitzo shel barzel ein mafsekes ben Yisrael v'avim sheshamayim." Even a metal barrier doesn't separate between the Jews and their Father in heaven. Rashi explains that there is no such thing as a barrier before Kadosh Baruch Hu, since everything is revealed to him. Therefore, the door jamb is not a factor, and they're viewed as one group. So once again, the 3 points are: number one, it was taught in the Mishnah, "Pigol v'nos metamei siyadayim." Pigol v'nos are metamei the hands that touch them, which Rashi explains is midrabban. Rav Huna, Rav Chisa explained the reason for this decree. The one who taught the reason for pigol said it was mishum chashde kohuna, because of suspect kohanim. Rashi explains that they were suspect of being mefagel the carbon out of enmity for the person bringing it, which would cause him a monetary loss. The rabban therefore decreed tumah on the hands to be matriach the kohen to immerse them, which would serve as a deterrent. The one who taught the reason for nosar explained it was mishum atzli kohuna, because of lazy kohanim. Rashi explains that the decree would spur lazy wanting to eat the meat who might otherwise have let it become Noser. The question was asked whether the same decree was enacted for people taking the Pesach beyond its boundary, and the Gemara concludes there was no need. B'nei chabur zrizinhen u'mazir zehiribe. The members of the group that offer the Pesach are zealous, and they are careful with the meat not to take it out of its boundary. Point number two, Rabbi Yami said, "Hamotzi baser Pesach b'chabura chabura ino chayv ad shiyaniach." If one removes meat of the Pesach from the location of one group to that of another group, he's not chayiv unless he places it down in the new location. Hotza ksibei kashabbos. The expression of removing is written concerning the meat like it's written concerning Shabbos. So just like Shabbos, one's not chayiv until he does a kirva chanacha, so to hear a person not chayiv until he does an kirva chanacha. Rabbi Abba bar Amo challenged him from a mission in Zvachim regarding the carrying the carcasses of the inner chatas offerings on poles beyond the walls of the Azar, where those are in front of matami the garments as soon as they emerge from the Azar, even though the offering has not yet come to rest on the ground. According to Rabbi Ami, they should not be matam the garments until they place it down. Rabbi Amar bar Mamo resolved his own question, b'nigrarim. The Mishnah is dealing with a case where the carcasses are dragging on the ground. Tosa says that it's lav dafka that they're dragging, rather the limbs hang down to within three tefachim of the ground and are deemed resting on the ground based on the principle of lavud. And point number three, the next mission defines the boundary for the prohibition of taking the Pesach outside. Mina agav lifnim kol lifnim, from the door jamb inward is judged as inside. Mina agav lechutz kol lechutz, and from the door jamb outward is considered outside. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, v'ken lo tefila. The same law applies regarding tefila. Rav disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi, who said, "Afil mechitzo shel barzel einam apsekes ben Yisrael v'avihem shivshamayim." Even a metal barrier does not separate between the Jews and their Father in heaven. Rashi explains that there is no such thing as a barrier before Kadosh Baruch Hu, since everything is revealed to him. Therefore, the door jamb is not a factor, and they're viewed as one group. All right, so now we go to our simon for daf pei hey, and our standard simon is a mouth, a peh, but we use a dentist to make it a little more concrete. So here goes. The chabur, a proud dentist, whose hands were always tahor, as they were extremely careful not to take their pesach outside, were aghast when they saw a chabur of orthodontists carry a carcass out on poles and place it down outside the door jamb next to a metal barrier where a minion davened. Once again, in slow motion. The chabur, a proud dentist. Dentist, that must mean run daf pei hey, peh, mouth. The chabur, a proud dentist, whose hands were always tahor, as they were extremely careful not to take their pesach outside, which reminds us, was taught in the Mishnah, pigel v'noser metamnes yadayim. Pigel v'noser are metami the hands that touch them, which Rashi explains them to the Rabbanan. Pigel mishum chashdei kohuna, pigel because of suspect kohanim, would want to cause a monetary loss to those they didn't like. The Rabbanan therefore decreed two on their hands to be betrayed the kohen to immerse them, which would serve as a deterrent. And noser mishum atzrei kohuna, because of lazy kohanim. Rashi explains that the decree would spur lazy kohanim to eat the meat, who might otherwise have let it become noser. The question was asked whether the same decree was enacted for people taking the pesach beyond its boundary, and the Gemara concludes that there was no need b'nei chaburah's reason hen. The members of the group that offer the pesach are zealous, and they're careful with the meat not to take it out of its boundary. So the chaburah, a proud dentist, whose hands were always tahor, as they were extremely careful not to take the pesach outside, were aghast when they saw a chaburah of orthodontist carry a carcass out in poles and place it down, which reminds us, Rabbi Ami said, Hamotzi batzer pesach mechaburah, chaburah eino chayv ad shi'aniach. If one removes meat of the pesach from the location one group to another of another group, he's not chayv unless he places it down in a new location. Hotzak sibe k'shabbos. The expression of removing is written concerning the meat, like it's written concerning Shabbos. Just like Shabbos, one's not chayv until he does an akir v'chanach, so too here a person's not chayv until he does an akir v'chanach. Rabbi Amar Bar Amar would challenge him for a mishnah and zvachim regarding carrying the carcass of the inner chatz offerings out on poles beyond the walls of the Azara, where those in the front are metamei their garments as soon as they emerge from the Azara, even though the offering has not yet come to rest on the ground. So Rabbi Amar Bar Amar resolved his own question, saying it was benigrarim. The mission is dealing with the case where the carcasses are dragging on the ground. Tosa says it was lav dafka that they're dragging, rather the limbs hang down to within three tefachim of the ground and are deemed resting on the ground based on the principle of lavud. So the chabur, a proud dentist, whose hands were always tahor, as they were extremely careful not to take their pesach outside, were aghast when they saw a chabur of orthodontist carrying a carcass out on poles and place it down outside the door jamb next to a metal barrier where a minion davened. Which reminds us, the next mission defines the boundary for the prohibition of taking the pesach outside. Mina agav lifnim kolifnim, from the door jamb inward is adjudged as inside. Mina agav lechutz kolchutz, and from the door jamb outward is considered outside. But Yudah said in the name of Rav, the kamel tefillah. The same law applies regarding tefillah. Rav disagrees with Yishuv ben Levi, who said, "Afil mechitzu shel barzah in mafsekes ben Yisrael la'avihem shem shamayim." Even metal barrier does not separate between the Jews and their Father in heaven. Rashi explains that there is no such thing as a barrier before Kodesh Baruch Hu, since everything is revealed to him. Therefore, the door jamb is not affected, and they are viewed as one group. So once again, the chabur, a proud dentist, whose hands were always tahor, as they were extremely careful not to take their pesach outside, were aghast when they saw a chabur of orthodontists carry a carcass out on poles and place it down outside the door jamb next to a metal barrier where a minion davened. All right, now it's time for a four blot back chazara. Daf payoff. So the simmer daf payoff is a grandpa. A grandpa. So here goes. The grandpa, grandpa. That must be more than daf payoff. The grandpa who spent a lifetime searching for a tumas at the home and who told the kohen bringing a tummy that it's permitted for him, which reminds us, Rabbi Yosef inquired, kohen maratz b'tummy, concerning the kohen who affects acceptance for the tummy, meaning the one that does the avoda, was tumas at the home permitted for him or not? Rabbi said, it's a kal v'chomer. If in place where known tuma is not permitted, such as in the case of a nazir or pesach, tumas at the home is permitted, according to some, then in a place where known tumah is permitted, such as a tamid, which Rashi explains can be offered by a tamid kohen when no tahor kohen is available, isn't it logical that tumas at the home would be permitted for it? The Gemara rejects this proof because ain't done in kal v'chomer mahalach. We don't derive a kal v'chomer from halach l'moshe Sinai. Rava answered instead that we derive the law of the tamid that tumas at the home is permitted for the kohen from the gezer shava of mo'odo mo'odo, from the case of the pesach. So the grandpa who spent a lifetime searching for a tumas at the home and who told the kohen bringing a tummy that is permitted for him, was devastated when he was told his recent discovery was known by someone else on the other side of the world. Which reminds the Gemara asks for the source for tumas dahom, and three sources are brought. The Gemara challenges the interpretations based on a brisa that states that which is tumas dahom, any tuma that no one, even at the end of the earth, is aware of. If even one person at the end of the earth is aware of it, ain zet tumas dahom. It is not tumas dahom, since none of the sources were consistent with that definition. The Gemara concludes, Tumas at the home, Hilchas and Gemirla, Ukras Makdaba Alma. The law of Tumas at the home is a lachal of Moshe Messina, and the pasuk brought by each Amor was only on a smachta. So the grandpa who spent a lifetime searching for a Tumas at the home, and who told the kohen bringing a tummy that is permitted for him, was devastated when he was told his recent discovery was known by someone else on the other side of the world, despite the fact that it was concealed under straw. Which reminds us, a braisa defines the type of concealment that qualifies for tumas at the home. If one found it concealed under straw, earth, or pebbles, it's tumas at the home. But if one found it in water, in the darkness, or in crevices in the boulders, it's not tumas at the home. Rashi explains that although the tumas is not readily apparent, it's not deemed concealed and unknown, since one who looks closely can find it in spite of its position. The braisa concludes that tumas at the home only applies for the tuma of a maize. Daf Pei Beis. So the Simmer Daf Pei Beis is a pub. A pub. So here goes. The beer pub. Beer pub. That must mean we're on Daf Pei Beis. The beer pub that forbade patrons to burn their own wood there, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, why is there a problem of burning one's own wood before the beer? Rav Yosef said, Shalul Levayish as Mishaimlo, in order not to embarrass those who do not have their own wood. Rava said, Mifnei Chashad, because of the need to avoid suspicion. Rashi explains that people seeing them take excess wood home might think they're taking from the Maracha. The difference between them would be a case where the person brings his own reeds or dry palm branches, which are not fit for burning on the Maracha. So the beer pub that forbade patrons to burn their own wood there made one person burn his meat he took off the premises, which reminds the Gemara for the source that meat taken out of its boundary is burned, as opposed to another message such as bearing, and suggests that it's learned from the incident when Aaron burned the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh on the day the Mishkan was completed and none of an Avihu died. After rejecting this source, as well as another source, the Gemara concludes that it's halachah l'moshe misinai that all psulim of Kodesh are burned. And the Torah mentions the details around Aaron burning the chatas only because the incident occurred this way. So the beer pub that forbade patrons to burn their own wood there made one person burn his meat he took off the premises while packing up the meat portions of some tummy customers for them to leave overnight before tossing them in a fire. Which reminds us, the Mishnah continues, Nitmu abalim o shemesu tu ubar saraso v'yasar peshishasar. If the owners became tummy or died, its appearance must first be changed, which means that the flesh must be left overnight so that it will become pusil as nosar, and it's burned on the 16th. Rabbi Yochum Roka says, Avze yasar miyad v'nishem abalim. This one too should be burned at once because it has no way to eat it. Rabbi Yosef says the Malchus pertains to a case when the owners became tummy before the Zrikas Adam, where the meat was never fit to be eaten. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka considers it a psul b'gufa, whereas the Tanakhama does not. They would agree that if the owners became tummy after the zrika, so that the meat became fit to eat before the psul occurred, then it became possible from an external factor and requires a change of appearance before it's burned. Rabbi Yochanan understands the Malchus applies even in a case where the owners became tummy after the zrika's adam. Daf Pei Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Pei Gimel is a pogo stick. So here goes. The reigning pogo stick champion jumping over burning bones filled with nosar and neck sinews which were hard as wood wowed the spectators of the competition that was held on the morning of the 17th of Nisan, since the 16th fell on Shabbos. Once again, in slow motion. The reigning pogo stick champion, that must be more in Duff, Pei Gimel. The reigning pogo stick champion jumping over burning bones filled with nosar, which reminds the next Mishnah states that the bone sinews and leftover flesh of the Pesach must be burned on the 16th of Nisan. Rav Mari Bar Avoh said in the name of Yitzchak, bones of any kachin that served as a carry of nosar are metam in the hands of the Rabban like nosar itself, since they served as a basis for a dava aser. The Gemara seeks to support Rabbi Yitzchak's statement from the Mishnah, but rejects the proof, saying, Shimush Nosar Lav Milsi. Serving Nosar as a basis is not a factor, and the ton of our Mishnah holds that when the Torah stated of Etzim L'tishbu Bo, you shall not break a bone in it. Bo, the term in it means, B'kasher B'afil B'pasel, a kasher Pesach, and even a pasel Pesach. Since it's forbidden to break open the bones even after the Pesach becomes Nosar, they must always be burned because of the marrow in them. However, the bones themselves do not inherently require burning. So the reigning pogo stick champion jumping over burning bones filled with nosar and neck sinews which were hard as wood, which reminds Rav Yudah said the name of Rav called Gidim Basar Chutz Migidei Tzavar. All sinews are considered flesh except for the sinews of the neck. Rashi explains that the sinews are considered meat, and therefore when people register for the Pesach, and there must be a kazayas of flesh for each person to eat, the sinews may be counted as flesh. The neck sinew is very hard, and is considered like wood rather than the flesh. The Gemara attempts to challenge Rav's ruling from a Mishnah and brings a number of resolutions. So the reigning pogo stick champion jumping over burning bones filled with nosar and neck sinews which were hard as wood wowed the spectators at the competition that was held on the morning of the 17th of Nisan, since the 16th fell on Shabbos. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated that if the 16th of Nisan fell on Shabbos, then the bones, sinews, and nosar are burned on the 17th, because the mitzvahs to burn them are not docheh Shabbos or yantiv. The Gemara asks why the burning doesn't override yantiv. Let the asei to burn nosar come and be docheh the losas if not din malach and yantiv. So Chizkiyah said, the pasuk states, lo sishim mimenu ad boker, but nosar mimenu ad boker, but eshti srifu. You shall not leave any of it until morning, and any of it that's left until morning you shall burn in fire. So why was it necessary to state ad boker a second time? Witten lo boker shen with srifu so, to give the Pesach a second morning for its burning, which refers to the first morning of Chol HaMoed. Abai and Rabbah brought two additional sources, and Rav Ashi said, Shabbason de Yom Tov Asehu. The pasuk regarding rest on Yantiv is an Aseh ve'in Aseh do chelos Aseh v'aseh. And a single Aseh, such as the mitzvah of burning Noser, does not override the combination of an Aseh and los Aseh. Daf Pei Dalet. So the Sim Pei Dalet is a spaceship on a launch pad. So here goes. This spaceship on the launch pad, about to send a grown ox and tendered kid to space as food for the trip, was manned by the astronaut who was relieved he didn't get lashed for leaving over some of the Tower of Pesach, while a team of eight scientists debated why he wasn't Chayv Malkus for breaking its bone. So once again, slow motion. This spaceship on the launch pad, spaceship on a launch pad, that must be more on Duff Pei Dalet. This spaceship on the launch pad about to send a grown ox and tender kid to space as food for the trip, which reminds us that Rabbah contrasts the two parts of the next mission discussing which parts of the Pesach are considered edible and fit to be counted as portions. The first part stated that anything that's edible in a grown ox is fit to be eaten in a tender kid. This implies that parts which are inedible in a grown ox are not fit to be eaten in a tender kid, but the latter part of the mission continues, including the ends of the shoulder blades and the other cartilage. But these are inedible in a grown ox. So Rabbah concluded that some halachos tonight that the latter part was a Yesh Omrim who holds that the ends of the shoulder blades and of the cartilage are deemed fit to be eaten in a kid, since in a grown ox they can be made edible through extended cooking. Rava said that the Mishnah is writing in the form of a Mahin Katani, or what are they? And this is what it means to teach, anything that is edible in a grown ox through extended cooking is considered fit to be eaten in a tender kid through roasting. What are these parts? Rashi confined by Susim. So the spaceship on the launch pad about to send a grown ox and tendered kid to space as food for the trip was manned by the astronaut who was relieved he didn't get lashed for leaving over some of the Tahor Pesach, which reminds us it was taught in a brice regarding why one doesn't receive malchus for leaving over a part of the Tahor Pesach. It says in the puzzle, you shall not leave any of it over until morning, and any of it that's left over until morning shall be burned in the fire. So the pasuk comes to give an aseh to burn the leftover after it says the los aseh against leaving over to teach that one doesn't get malchus. These are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yaakov says that that's not the reason, but rather it's because the prohibition of leaving over does not involve an action, and therefore one doesn't get malchus for that. So the spaceship on the launch pad about to send a grown ox and tendered kid to space as food for the trip was manned by the astronaut who was relieved he didn't get lashed for leaving over some of the Tower Pesach, while a team of eight scientists debated why he wasn't Chayv Malkus for breaking its bone. Which reminds us, it was taught in Brisa that the pasuk states Ve'etzem lo tishbru bo, and you shall not break a bone in it, bo bekashvu lo bepasul. The phrase in it implies in a valid Pesach, but not an invalid one. But Rebbe says, Bebayis echad yechel, Ve'etzem lo tishbru bo. In one house it shall be eaten, and the pasuk continues, and you shall not break a bone in it. The juxtaposition of these two mitzvahs is coming to teach, whatever is fit for eating is subject to the prohibition against breaking a bone, and whatever is not fit for eating is not subject to the prohibition. Now, since only a valid offering may be eaten, Rebbe's teaching seems to be that of the Tanakhamas. So the Gemara brings eight amors that explain the difference, and then concludes with a brisa that conforms to four of them. All right, now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos, Shabbos, and Erevin. Number 1. Which have you learned that the bones of the Pesach must be burned because of the marrow in them, as it's forbidden to break them even after they become Noser? That's on Daf. Pegimel. Good. Number 2. Which have you learned that the din that the meat is taken out of its boundary is burned is Halakha Moshe Min Sinai, and that all psalm of Kodesh are burned? That's on Daf. Pebes. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do we have 8 different Amoraim give their opinion as to the difference between a Bryce and Rebbe as to which bones are not subject to the prohibition of Shvirus Etzim, breaking bones? That's on Daf. Pei Dalet. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do we know that one has to do an Akira and Hanach to be chayv for taking the Pesach out, just like Hotzah of Shabbos? That's on Daf. Pei Hey. Good. Number 5. Which stuff are various reasons given as to why the burning of Noser is not Dochi Yantav, one being that the second book in the Pesach indicates a second day for burning? That's on Daf. Pei Gimel. Good. Number 6. Which of the one that anything that's edible in a grown ox is fit to be eaten in a tender kid in terms of being fit to be counted as portions for the Pesach? That's on Daf. Pei Dalet. Good. Number 7. Which of the one that no gezerah being metameh the yadayim was needed for the Bnei Chabura regarding taking the Pesach outside, since there is reason and careful not to do it? That's on Daf. Hey, good. Number 8. Which stuff to do with Malchus? Why one leaves over a Tahor Pesach does not get Malchus? Rav Yehuda says it's a love of Janita Glaase, and Rav Yaakov says it's a love of Shein Bo Maisa. That's on Daf. Pei Dalet. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do we learn that in a case where the majority of the community are Zavim and a minority are Tmei Mesim, neither brings a Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni? That's on Daf. Pei. Good. Number 10. Wish of the wind that all the gidim are considered meat except for the neck sinews, which are hard like wood. That's on Duff. Pei Gimel. Good. Now the three bonus questions. Number 1. Wish of the wind there are five ways that the neshama is like a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's on Duff. Yud and Brachas. Good. Number 2. Wish of the wind that one should not sit on a sick person's bed. That's on Duff. Yud Beis and Shabbos. Good. And number 3. Which after we discuss who is considered a Yisrael Mumer? That's on Duff. Samach Tess and Erevin. Excellent. All right. That concludes this pop quiz. This is Rabbi Ram Golden Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.